Good morning, and thank you for listening to Senior Talk, presented by Right at Home Senior Care, right here and only on KEZW Studio 1430 AM. I'm your host, Greg Koopman. My co-host, Dale Martin, is out of town on vacation this week, but we have a fantastic show in store for you. As you know, Senior Talk is presented by Right at Home Senior Care, one of Colorado's longest-running and largest home care providers. I am extremely excited about this morning's show. We have a fantastic guest in store. It is the co-founder and CEO, Chief Everything Officer of Active Minds, Zane Robertson. Zane, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to join us this morning. Welcome to Senior Talk.
Oh, thank you, Greg. I'm really excited to be here.
This is a fantastic topic. We have a lot of information to get to and a short amount of time to get to it in. Let's take a few moments, really share with our listeners a little bit about your background and really what sparked your passion to do what you do at Active Minds.
Sure, absolutely. So Active Minds started a little over 10 years ago. It started in the basement of a church in Denver. John Henderson, who's the other co-founder, is a career educator, and he'd taken a leave of absence for a while. And he was teaching a class on poetry during the day, and it was open to adults. And one of the things he noticed is that the class filled up mostly with seniors.
Wow.
And that was really kind of the aha moment, was there really was, and in many places, less so in Denver, continues to be a real unmet need for high quality educational programming geared towards the senior and adult audience. That's not about, you know, getting another degree so you can get a better job. So that was really the genesis of the idea. And from there, John sent out some homemade flyers to some retirement communities. I think he sent out about a dozen of them and got, I think, 9 phone calls, which anyone who's ever spent any time in direct mail, they get really excited about, like 3% response rates. So
absolutely. That's a great return.
Yeah. So that was really the moment at which he and when we started talking, we together realized that there was something here that we could really bring to this audience.
Okay, fantastic. And I know you come from a background or a family of teachers as well, so it's kind of in your blood to be working with this educational concept as well.
Yeah, my mother was an elementary school teacher. My father's a college-level professor. My grandmother was a special ed teacher. So, and I've been a teacher as well. My background's a little bit different than John's, who's got the teaching background for a couple decades or more. My background is more in a variety of different businesses. I think I've wound up starting several in the last 2 decades. Prior to Active Minds, I was running a printing company. So kind of a bit of a serial entrepreneur. Active Minds really struck me when John and I started talking about it, because it seemed like a great business opportunity, but even more importantly, a great opportunity to really make a difference in the world.
Absolutely, and that's where you find that passion, and no doubt your family, who are all teachers, probably are not surprised that you found your way that direction as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
So for our listeners who are not familiar with Active Minds, and I know KEZW has covered Active Minds several times over the years, sum it up for us. What is Active Minds? How long have you been doing this? What is it all about?
Great. Yeah. So what we do is we provide lifelong learning programs, and I'll explain a little bit what that is, for seniors and adults, kind of wherever they are. So we run programming in a number of senior residential communities, be they retirement communities, assisted living communities, but a substantial portion of our programming is in places where anyone can go, regardless of where they live. Folks that are still living in their home can go to programming that we have in partnership with the Tattered Cover, or we partner with almost all of the local area library districts and run a lot of programs through the libraries, through senior centers and whatnot. So the programming is accessible to anyone. It's mostly free to attend. In fact, I think all of our programs now are free to attend. And what you will get when you go to an Active Minds program is a 1-hour, one-topic primarily lecture, but definitely question, discussion, encourage. So, you know, the topics might range anywhere from understanding the complex situation in Syria today to a lighthearted look at ghost stories in Denver, or a history program on the history of Denver or Colorado. So it really, it's a blend of international topics, political topics, history, biography, and really any additional topic that we think is important for people to know about. So, for example, right now we're running a program on fracking, which is reasonably controversial. Our commitment to our audience is to present both sides in an objective way. But a lot of people are coming to those programs to learn about this important trend in U.S. energy policy.
So this isn't, you know, bingo hour. This is, I mean, you're gone, you're learning stuff, you're getting engaged and spending time with your peers to learn about these topics, discuss these topics, and really, you know, brighten and enhance your life, it sounds like.
Exactly. And you touch upon a really key point, Greg. It is a social experience. So, you know, one of the founding values that we have at Active Minds is about helping encourage and build community. And it is exactly that. It's about bringing people together for a common experience where they're engaged with the topic and they're engaged with each other. And part of what we love to encourage and foster is ongoing engagement with each other and with the topic. So, for example, you know, people may attend the program on Syria. Well, that's a story that's going to continue to evolve. And if you and I go to an Active Minds program and then we see each other a week or two later, we have an opportunity to reconnect on this topic and say, wow, did you see the recent development that happened in the Middle East relative to Syria? And we can kind of continue that experience that we had
together. So it kind of opens the door for that ongoing dialogue.
Exactly.
That's fantastic. Now, you touched on, you know, the accessibility of this. I know the term accessible education has really been used with the Active Minds program. You know, can you go a little bit deeper into that? I know you mentioned, you know, the different communities, and you really, it sounds like, take your program to the people. Is that what you initially set out to do?
Yeah, that's a great question. And we really do hang our hat on that term of accessible education. And it goes across a couple of different dimensions. So the first and perhaps the most important is physical accessibility. So we teach a number of programs that are in communities that are within blocks of academic universities. So Denver University is a perfect example. We teach in a community that's less than a mile from DU. And what we do is different in a number of ways that make that program more accessible. So for residents of that community, it happens essentially in their living room. So there's a physical accessibility that matters to them. They don't have to figure out how they're going to get to a university. They don't have to figure out parking, where the room is, negotiate stairs, etc. There's also a pedagogical accessibility that we bring as well. So if you think about a class that you might take at DU that might run for a semester or whatnot, that might be part of a program on international studies, there are a number of things that we do differently than that experience that makes it more accessible. So because we are not conferring a degree on people, we don't have to pack in information that one would expect with that kind of a degree in history or international studies or whatnot. So it gives us the latitude to be more what we call journalistic storytellers. So we don't have to bog it down with names and dates and battles and places. We can tell the story with the appropriate level of factual content so that people can really connect with that as well. But we're there telling a story, and there are no tests, there's no homework, there are no papers to write. So that makes it accessible as well. And the last piece, I guess I would say on that, is every Active Minds program is a standalone topic. And this is really important to the audience that we serve, because it's very difficult for folks to commit to attending something every, let's say, every week for 10 weeks. And what we find is that if it is structured that way and somebody misses the third class in a 10-week series, pretty quickly they start to feel behind and they disengage and check out and stop coming. So our model is designed to, you know, whenever it works for you, you can come, you will get the overview and a lot of detail about whatever topic it is, but it's not cumulative, so you don't have to worry about, oh, gee, if I missed the last one, now I'm going to be behind and feel lost.
That's fantastic. Now, you know, what is the ultimate goal of what you guys are doing? I mean, what are you hoping to accomplish by doing this? I mean, you've certainly been doing it a decade now. What have you accomplished? What are you hoping to accomplish from here on?
Yeah, what really motivates both John and I is the difference that we make in the lives of seniors. So you mentioned bingo a while back, and I love bingo. Don't get me wrong.
Absolutely.
There's a time and place for bingo. I think I played 10 bingo cards once in New Orleans and had a great time. The issue that really spurs and drives us is if you go into, and I'm going to talk about senior residential communities for a minute. If you go into a senior residential community, and like I said, this is now much less so the case in Denver because of Active Minds, but typically if you walk in, you'll find a large activity calendar posted somewhere. And when John and I started this, we would walk into those communities and we would read all of the things that were available for residents. And it would be things like bingo or arts and crafts, or maybe somebody playing oldies on the piano or showing slides of their trip to Alaska, all of which are worthwhile things to do. What drives us is, and there's much more that we can do. We can offer something else that's not being offered in these communities, that by way of real substantive educational programming that tackles complex issues, that does it in a really accessible way, as we've talked about, that brings topics of interest in the world to the folks in those communities or wherever they might attend an Active Minds program. One of the most frequent comments that we get is on our feedback forms is something to the effect of, thank you for helping us stay engaged in the world. So it's that notion of bringing topics that matter to people that don't have a way of engaging in that easily. That's what really motivates us.
You know, it sounds like because the world is evolving, and as the world is evolving, your program is also able to evolve and continue to develop. And you know, that's one of the most interesting sides of this, I think.
Yeah, for better or for worse, we're never going to run out of topics because the world does keep changing, and we keep having challenges and opportunities that are worth spending some time talking about.
That's fantastic. Now, I want to make sure we get this information out several times on today's show. What's the best way our listeners can get in contact with you and Active Minds to learn about all the great things you have going on?
Yeah, thanks for that. ActiveMinds.com is our website. So if you have internet access, just go to www.activeminds.com. On the website, you will find all sorts of information about upcoming events that are free to attend. There's a Contact Us section of the website where you can sign up to receive emails every couple of weeks or so of interesting events that you might be interested in. If you don't have access to the internet, you can call us at 303-320-7652, and we will add you to our good old-fashioned U.S. postal mailing list.
That's fantastic. I want to share a quote here from Henry Ford. I know we were talking about this particular quote before today's show as well. Henry Ford once said, "Anyone who stops learning is old. Whether at 20 or 80, anyone who keeps learning stays young. The greatest thing in life is to keep your mind young." How important is this overall mission to seniors?
Yeah, that's really dead center in our mission and why we do this. There's an underlying belief that we hold near and dear that lifelong learning is a part of a life well lived, that it doesn't stop. I sometimes talk about some of the inspiration that John and I both had for this. For me personally, it was my grandmother, who I mentioned before, she was an educator, and she retired at about the age of 65, after which she learned Spanish as a second language. and she became a fairly accomplished amateur geologist. She used to joke, she lived in the San Francisco Bay Area, and she used to joke that she'd taken every geology class at the various colleges and university around where she lived that didn't have calculus as a prerequisite. So, you know, for me, it's just, it's hardwired in my DNA that, you know, learning never stops. And at Active Minds, we hold the belief that that is a key component to aging well and living well. And so what we strive to do is to bring that to people, make it accessible so that they can make it part of their lives as well.
That's fantastic. And what a fantastic mission to seek out. What are some of the benefits that folks are seeing from attending these courses, these classes?
Yeah, so we've talked about some of them in terms of, you know, staying engaged in the world, the joy of lifelong learning, the social component. There's one piece we haven't talked about, which I will tell you is not why we do this, but is an important benefit as well. So there's a lot of research that's been done, much of it over the last two decades, on the brain and how the brain ages. And what has become really clear from this research is there is a significant and powerful connection between how we use our brain and our overall brain health. And that's things ranging from cognitive functioning to memory to the likelihood of getting Alzheimer's disease or other forms of dementia.
Right.
There's one study that I actually give a talk on this at conferences, and there's one study that I cite that found that as little as one additional cognitively stimulating activity per week was associated with as much as a 30% lower likelihood of getting Alzheimer's disease.
Oh, wow.
And that's indicative of the research in general that really says, you know, it, much like any muscle in your body that needs to be exercised to stay strong and functioning well, the brain is very similar. And so the recipe for brain health as we age involves a number of things like eating right and sleep, getting enough sleep. But one of the key components is exercising your brain by engaging in things like Active Minds. It doesn't have to be Active Minds, but things that really challenge your mind to think and stay alert and keep working those neurons and brain cells.
And, you know, we've talked about Alzheimer's and dementia on the program several times. And, you know, there is a lot to be said, you know, physically and mentally for the saying, use it or lose it. I mean, you have to stay sharp. You have to keep challenging yourself, engaging those muscles, whether it's, you know, other parts of your body or muscles in your brain, and to stay sharp and to continue to challenge yourself is such a very important part of staying mentally and physically healthy. So you've seen these benefits in some of the folks that you've worked with.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Excellent. Let's talk about your curriculum. I know we talked about some of the topics that you cover. Can you paint our listeners more of a picture about some of these exciting things that you've really, you know, dove into as far as educational topics?
Yeah, it's funny because we develop three new topics every month. So, you know, from our perspective, it's always changing, always new. Some of them have lasting power. So, you know, we can do a program on the history of Denver, and, you know, that doesn't change a lot in a year or two. We can run that program multiple times. Something like Syria obviously has a very current component to it. So what we try and do is make sure that we are constantly looking out at the world and saying, given what's happening now, what do we think matters? And so, you know, hence the topics like that I mentioned, like Syria and fracking. We have a program that we're doing in November on privacy versus protection, which is the tension between individual privacy rights and protecting us all from terrorism. You know, fascinating, multi-layered topic.
Definitely a current topic as
exactly,
well.
Exactly, exactly, and likely to be one for a while. You know, but we also have fun topics. You know, years ago we discovered, as much of what we've learned, we discovered the hard way, that the appetite for really hard-hitting geopolitical topics around the holidays is low. So we stopped running things like Syria around the holidays, and we started exploring with some programming like the history of coffee or the history of chocolate. We have a bunch of food-themed ones. We have cheese as well. And so there's some real fun, more lighthearted programs.
And are those interactive ones where there's samples? And
often there are. Okay. Yeah, it kind of depends on the venue and the host, but frequently that is the case, and that's part of the fun as well.
Now, do you take suggestions and things like that from people attending these classes and events, you know, as far as for topics and new ideas?
Absolutely. We welcome that. Some of the best ideas have come from attendees who've said, you know, what about doing a program on what X, Y, or Z, and we will work that in. We have kind of a holding tank of topics that we're waiting to work our way towards and create curriculum around, as well as if you go to our website, if you click on our programs and then topics, you'll see a list of, I think it's well over 100.
Right.
Some drop off all the time as they, you know, maybe go out of date and new ones come on, and it's got something for everyone.
Now, can you tell us a little bit more about the format of these classes? I know you mentioned usually about an hour long.
Right.
How is it structured? I mean, who are the teachers? Who leads these discussions? Is it you and John usually, or do you have guest lecturers?
So we have somewhere between 20 and 25 instructors.
Oh, wow.
that teach for Active Minds. So they are all exceptional teachers. So when we hire instructors to teach for Active Minds, we're looking for two things. One is top-notch teaching ability, and the second is a content knowledge background that fits with the types of topics that they'll be teaching. So if they're teaching some of the international topics, we're looking for history, political science, international studies, that kind of thing. So they know what they're talking about, and they're really good teachers. John teaches a lot. I teach a whole lot less than he does, although occasionally I do teach a class or two. The programs themselves are typically structured, I guess I would say it depends, but the most frequent structure is kind of a background section first, and that usually applies to all topics, where whether it's a complex situation in the world like Syria, whatever it is, we give the backstory. So we start with, how did we get to the situation that we're currently in? And depending on the topic, that may take a lot of time or very little time, and depending on how much time we need to allocate to the current situation. Again, using the Syria example, we're going to spend a lot more time on the current situation because that's where the interest is. We're
right.
Not going to spend a ton of time on Syria, whereas if we have a topic that is more historical, say Vietnam, we have a program on Vietnam, we're going to spend a lot more time on the history and in particular the Vietnam War because that's where the interest lies. Then that second part will be, what is going on? What is the current situation? Who are the players? What are the issues? What do the various constituencies have to say about this? If it's a controversial topic like fracking, we're going to talk about, you know, what are the folks that are really excited about what fracking represents for U.S. energy policy have to say? And what do those that are concerned about some of the consequences of this have to say? And we bring all of those voices into the discussion. And then we usually end the program with a look towards the future. So again, I'll use Syria. We'll kind of tee up where this might go with the destruction of chemical weapons in Syria. How might this play out? Over what period of time? What do we look for to determine whether or not this policy has been successful? And the notion there is to try and tee up the future so that people can stay engaged in the topic over time as it continues to evolve. Now, throughout the hour, there's going to be various points where the instructor will stop and take questions, comments, kind of open it up for discussion so that it's not just 60 minutes of somebody talking at people. It does become a two-way dialogue. But I will say it leans more toward the lecture format than a discussion format, because we do have a body of material that we want to convey over
right.
the course of the hour.
Okay. Now, I know you mentioned also that a lot of times these classes and programs are done at senior living communities and senior centers and things like that. You know, Do you have to be a resident of these particular communities usually to attend the ones that are there? Because I know folks are going to be checking out the website and getting in contact to see what's upcoming. Do you have to live there to attend these?
So the answer to that is sometimes yes, sometimes no.
Okay.
Anything you find on the website is open to the public. So if you go to activeminds.com and you click on upcoming events, you can select Denver area or Boulder, Longmont area. Anything you see listed there is open to the public. What you won't see there is the other programs that we do that are just for the residents of those communities. But the topics are always open to the public. So no matter what we are teaching, we will have multiple opportunities over the course of a month or a couple of months for people to go to the fracking class or to go to the program on privacy versus protection.
And you mentioned these are usually free now.
Yep. Yep. I think at this point, I'm pretty sure 100% of the programs are free.
Now, do you have to be a senior to attend these events? Do you do any non-senior events?
Absolutely not. These are open to adults of all ages. We began Active Minds with a focus on seniors, so lots of the audience will be seniors, but we run twice monthly programming at the Tattercover Bookstore, and we get adults of all ages, as well as occasionally we get high school students attending that, and all are welcome. The same is true for the library programs. We're going to get adults of all ages to those. At the senior centers, adults of all ages are always welcome to any of the programs. It's going to skew a little bit more towards the senior audience when it's at a senior center. When it's at a residential community, and a fair number of those are open to the public, and those are listed on the website as well, adults of all ages are welcome there as well. If you think about the motivation of some of the communities, they're really wanting to reach out into the community and have folks that might either be their future residents or maybe are the adult children of their future residents, mm-hmm. learn a little bit about XYZ community. And so part of the reason that they make those programs open to the public is to give people an opportunity to come in and see what it might be like to live at Park Place or Oakhurst or one of the Morningstar communities.
And wait, what a great opportunity to experience the community as well.
Exactly.
Unfortunately, Zane, we are about out of time. I can't thank you enough for coming in this morning and sharing with us all the great things you've been doing with Active Minds. Can you share with our listeners one more time how they can get in contact with you to learn about all the great upcoming events you have going on?
Yeah, thanks, Greg. And it's been a real pleasure to be here with you as well. The two best ways are by phone and the website. The website, again, is www.activeminds.com. And the phone number is 303-320-7652.
Excellent. Thank you again for joining us this morning. And I want to remind listeners that they can reach Right at Home 24 hours a day, 7 days a week by calling 720-875-1800. Again, that's 720-875-1800. And thank you to our listeners for tuning in to this week's episode of Senior Talk. Don't forget to join us next Sunday and every Sunday at 7:30 a.m. for a brand new episode of Senior Talk, presented by Right at Home Senior Care, right here and only on KEZW Studio 1430 a.m. Until then, have a great week, and thanks for listening.